Well, as Reverend Higginson has said, I'm one of a very few friends that he does have. But nevertheless, it's a joy and it's my privilege to be here tonight. I don't know why he asked me. There's nothing, I believe, remarkable in anything about me, but I'm here to recommend someone who is remarkable, and that is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. I had to apologise to Reverend Higginson as soon as we arrived at the manse tonight. Somebody had told me that there was a picture advertising this service tonight of me playing the guitar, and I thought people will get it into their heads of some strange character coming up here to sing. Thankfully, that is quite a miss for you tonight. You're very privileged that that didn't happen. Roger has been asking me a number of times to come and sing. I don't know whether to believe him or not, whether he's asking me really to come and sing, but nevertheless, we'll not do that. We often sing together when we come up to the Higginsons. We get the children singing, and the odd time we've played the guitar, and now that Sarah's playing the keyboard, she helps us out, and we try to encourage Elaine to get the guitar out. Hasn't really worked that often, but we do our best, and we have enjoyed rich times of real good fellowship together with this dear family, and we just thank the Lord for each one of them, and we trust the Lord will continue to bless them and bless their ministry here. If you would turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs in the chapter 3, just want to read two verses. I know they're very well known, maybe memorized verses by many in the congregation tonight. Proverbs and the chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and the verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, as our brother has said, my name is Paul Roberts. I belong to our Sandown congregation. But my early life was spent, as it is now later on in life, in East Belfast. I was born and grew up in a place called Trillick Street, not far off the Newton Arch Road there, down in the heart of East Belfast. As a child growing up in the home, it was 9 years after I was born, before my brother came along. And that was quite a shock to my system, being that little bit older. But nevertheless, my mother and father always said to me, it was a shock to their system that it took 9 years to recover before another boy entered our home. But our home was a good home. My mother and father were not saved until later in life. But nevertheless, it was a good home. We enjoyed a good upbringing there. Just the bottom, really, of that part of the road. Later in life, we moved up. I was about primary five whenever we moved out of that area. And we moved further up into Clonduff and the estate there. A small estate just off the Cassery Road. And that was where I grew up, went to school, and did everything else. But those early memories of being down at the bottom of the Newton Arch Road area, it was quite a rough area, quite a rough place to live. The troubles, of course, were raging on at that time. And many an experience, even as a young boy, living in that area. As I've said, my parents were not saved. And I certainly have little or no recollection of ever going to a meeting, ever going to Sunday school, never going to a children's meeting, never being taught the Word of God as a young boy growing up, sadly. And I would say to you young people here tonight, maybe boys and girls sitting in this meeting, you're very privileged. Maybe you're in a Christian home. Maybe your mum and dad are saved. Maybe your grandparents are saved and you go to see them. You count that as a privilege, because I never had that. I just grew up like any young boy, just living in the States, and we ran here and we ran there, but I was never at a children's meeting. I remember once, a wee bit later on, being taken to a tent crusade in the Ormo Park by an aunt. But nevertheless, although I didn't grow up in a home where my mother or father knew Christ as their Saviour, I had an uncle and an aunt, and they were a godly influence on the whole of our family. And time again, they would have encouraged Mum and Dad to get us along, but it never really happened. It never really happened. And we just went about doing our own thing and going our own way, and so we did. But nevertheless, they prayed on and they labored on. And for my Uncle Joe and Aunt Ella, their perseverance paid off. Now, the thing about my life growing up as a young person, as a young lad, it was about 14 years of age that I started attending church. But it really wasn't for the right reasons whatsoever. My aunt and uncle went to the Church of the Nazarene, again just down off the New Arch Road. And they had an organization, uniformed organization, within the denomination of the Nazarene Church. And part of what they did within that was that the boys played football in the hall. And there was the attraction for Paul Roberts. Nothing at all to do with going to church. Nothing at all with listening to the Word of God or being taught the Scriptures. But football was mentioned. And I was there like a shot. Like a shot. I was 14. And football was a passion. It really was a passion in my life. My father had been a goalkeeper. And he played for a number of the Irish League clubs. And really, I idolized him in that matter. And just wanted to be like him. He was also a postman. And I also wanted to be a postman. And I suppose maybe there's young lads here in the congregation, maybe some a little bit older. And that was the mark in your life. I just want to be like my daddy. Do the things that he's doing and go the places he's going. Well, that was me. Dad was a footballer. And every Saturday I was there with him. And in the mornings, I was playing football myself. Through the week, playing football. Everything regarding Paul Roberts' life revolved around football. I remember coming home from school, and you young people well know that you're in your school uniform for a good number of hours during the day. Well, as soon as I got home, the school uniform was off and the football kit was on. And I can assure you, I spent longer hours with the football kit on than I did with the school uniform on. And I can tell you, the football kit was held a little bit more precious than the school uniform, and education suffered because of that. But football was my life. That's all I ever wanted to do. All that I wanted to be was a footballer, just like Dad, just like Dad. And so we went down to the church, and we played our football. But little did I know that part of the organization wasn't just about playing football. We were brought through the Word of God, and we had to memorize portions of the Scripture. And those verses that we read at the commencement, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, were the very first verses that I ever learned out of the Bible. Very first verses. And friends, I have treasured that all through my life. And not only that, I have proved them all through my life as well. First confrontation, 14 years of age with the Word of God. And through the Word of God being taught to us, we had to start attending Sunday school. And so we did that. And again, we were being taught the Word of God and being spoken to about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here I am as a young teenager. A passion for football, really only there for football. And I suppose if I'm being really honest, there was another reason for going down there. There were girls that went there as well. So the football was there, and the girls were there, and I was there. And that's all that mattered. That's all that mattered to me. But I can assure you, football was high in the priority before the interest in the girls came along. So there we were attending, now attending church and going along. And I didn't mind. I quite enjoyed it. Like being in the company of other young people and like going to the church services. We had to go, but I suppose in a way I could say I enjoyed going. But went to church on Sunday and lived like a rogue from Monday to Saturday, even as a young teenager. We were growing up in a small estate, and everybody knew everybody else. And there was older lads getting involved in things and going places. And much of their time was spent around drink. And as a very young teenager, it was very easy to get in with a group of older lads who were able to go and buy the drink at the wine cellars and the off licences, and to tag along, because you wanted to be the big lad and join in. And we were young. But we tagged along. And soon the grip of the world was there, even as a young teenage lad. I was going along to the meetings, happy enough doing that. But as I say, living a life of sin and just the life of a young teenager, wanting to get involved in everything and just do what I could and lived like I wanted to live. There was a young couple in the church at that time called Paul and Lorraine, and they were very good with the work of the young people. Many a time they would have brought us up to their home, and as a group of young people we would have met there and had supper and chatted. And Paul started to be an influence in my life. And one Sunday night we were in church, and the message was being preached on Sunday night. The gospel was being preached. And Paul kept passing me his Bible during the service, just rubbing his finger across the verse, whispering, "Read that." And I took the Bible and read a bit of it, passed it back again. Another minute or two passed, and a nudge came. The Bible was passed over again, pointing out another verse. Read that. And I wasn't really listening to what the preacher was saying. But the Word of God was making an impact. He was pointing out gospel verses that little did I know, and refused really to know, that were speaking to my life. And I sat after a little while in that meeting and began to feel very uncomfortable in reading the Bible and reading these verses. Because what had happened was there was conviction starting in my heart that I needed to get right with God. While those verses were being read and the Bible was being passed back and forward, the Spirit of God was beginning to work in this life of a young teenage lad. The meeting was over, and myself and another friend who was Paul's nephew, a young lad called David, we were out of the meeting like two rockets. But we had to get home, and Paul was taking us home. They lived in the Braniel, and I lived in Clonduff, and that was a strange thing, because really the two estates didn't mix too well together. But we had a good friendship with David and with Paul. And we got to our house, and we sat in the car, and we were yarning away and chatting away. And Paul just came out with the words, "I know there was somebody in that meeting tonight, and they wanted to get saved." And Paul Roberts, being the young teenage lad and Jack the lad, said, "Oh, who was that then?" Being very smart, soon to be cut down. And Paul just turned around from the driver's seat and just said, "It was you. It was you." Friends, I couldn't wait to get out of that car. Couldn't wait. I never got out of a car and slammed the door as quick to get away from that. But you know, I wasn't getting away from Paul's voice. I was trying to get away from the Lord's voice and the Spirit of God speaking into this life. "You need saved, Paul. You need saved. Your life's going nowhere. You're doing your own thing. You're living your life as you please, but it's taking you to a lost eternity. And you need to get right with God." But I was out. I didn't really care about David. It's funny that, isn't it? When you're just trying to save your own skin, it doesn't matter who you leave behind. And I was away, like a rocket. Straight into the house. Straight up to the room. Get it out of your head. There's football coming up. Get it out of your head. Friends, that week was a difficult week, to say the least. Because the Spirit of God was really convicting me of my sin. And I was troubled all week. I was almost going to say there I found it hard to concentrate in school because of it. But that wouldn't be quite right. I found it hard to concentrate in school full stop. Unless it involved something about football, and that wasn't going to happen. But friends, the Spirit of God was convicting this life of mine, convicting me about my sin, about where my life was going. Sadly, I was living in an area where young lads were just throwing their lives away. Now, I was sheltered in a way from that. My parents, if I had come in to their knowledge, and maybe they did have a knowledge, but if they'd have had any knowledge of joining anything or getting in with certain boys, I'd have got an awful hammering. Many's a hammering they did get. I'd have got more of a hammering. So we were sheltered in a way. But there were so many young lads that I went to school with and ran about in that estate, and their lives were really in the depths as teenage lads. Really in the depths. And thank God that he kept me from that. That week was uncomfortable. Conviction was at large in this life, and there was a battle going on in a young teenager's life. All week, thinking, what about the mates? What will they say? If I go to my mates and say, I'm a Christian now, boys, I'm going to feel very, very lonely. I'll lose everything. What about the football? Where's it going to go? Is that going to be a dream squashed just for becoming a Christian? And the devil was at war with this life. What about school? How can I go into school? I went to a decent school, but it was rough. What about going into school, telling school colleagues, I'm a Christian now? You might have got a hiding. These things were raging in a young teenager's life. What if? But the Lord was convicting. Paul, forget about those things. You need saved. And I knew that week that I needed to repent. I knew in my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only Savior. I knew all these things. I knew that I was heading for a Christless hell if I didn't get saved and put this thing off and put this thing away. But those words that we had learned when I first came into that church, trust in the Lord, were ringing clear. I was 16. The following week after that, I couldn't wait really as the weekend dawned for Sunday to come along. Paul Roberts wanted to get saved. And I know I could have got saved at any other day, but I couldn't wait for church time to come round to speak with someone again. And that following Sunday, I thank God at 16 years of age, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and found him as my own and personal Savior. The dear lady in the prayer meeting tonight just mentioned those words, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And that was true in this life of mine. The Lord had paid the price, and he had called me to himself, and I rejoiced in sins forgiving. And the Lord Jesus is a wonderful Savior and a dear, dear friend. And I was rejoicing in my new Christian life. But as a young teenage Christian, where I was living, where I was going, it was difficult. It was very difficult. The school problems were still there. How am I going to tell? What about my friends? Am I going to be able to run around and do the same things? Of course not. This life had to be marked out differently. This life had to be lived for the Lord now. I couldn't go and do the same things. Couldn't go to the same places. Couldn't say the same things. And you young people tonight, if you love the Lord as your Savior, you make a difference. Make a difference among your school colleagues. Stand out, and it's not easy. It's not easy, and I found it very, very hard as a young Christian, telling anyone. But there was a young girl in our class, and she was a Christian. And I'm very thankful for her, because she went around and told a lot of people that I'd become a Christian. And not saying it made it a lot easier, but it certainly made it a little bit easier for me, because then people were coming up and asking. And I thank God for Elizabeth, who went and was a helper in those matters. And as I say, we were rejoicing just in what the Lord had done for us. And we were now enjoying going to church, loving sitting under the ministry of the Word. And we began to do that, and began to just be at church every Sunday at the Sunday school, and just loving the Lord and loving everything about Him. Now, I've always loved music in my life, and not long after I was saved, I began to learn to play the guitar in church, and with that quickly got involved in the children's work and the youth work, and was playing the choruses and just rejoicing in God's goodness and God's forgiveness. And we went to the prayer meetings, and those prayer meetings that we went to as a young Christian were vital, vital for our lives. And we sat among older believers, and just hearing them pray was such a help and such a blessing. And older folk, pray for these young ones, pray for young people these days. And you young people, get into the prayer meeting, sit alongside godly saints, and listen to them pray and learn from them. And that's what I did. Just like a sponge, I was wanting to soak these things up, wanting to be helped, wanting to be helped. And I know for young believers today, it's a very difficult, it's a different day. There are different challenges. Much besets them. Many things go against them. And we've got to pray them through and pray for them. Young people, get alongside older believers, and you'll gain real strength from hearing them pray. And ask them to pray for you. Maybe something specific. You get them to pray for you and pray along with you. And the Lord helped me so much there, just in those early periods of sitting amongst older Christians. And then school was to finish. Thank the Lord. I was glad to get my school leavers certificate. And I was out the door. They talk about you burning your blazers and burning your books and everything. I just could not wait to get out. But what was to happen? Well, I'd stayed on a little bit. Strange thing. Didn't like it so much, but went back for a short period in the sixth year. But I was only doing something that I really wanted to do, and that was just doing something regarding art. And so I stayed on for a little bit, just trying to gain some other exam and try to get another certificate that would maybe help me out in finding work. So I was only there for a little time. School was over and work started. And I'm ever so glad and thankful that the Lord directed our steps. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And the Lord did that. And we come into the work of Every Home Crusade. And I know that's very familiar to a number, even in the congregation tonight. And Ernie Allen was a tremendous influence in my life as a young Christian. And the Lord has brought people across my life which have been such a tower of strength and such a blessing. And friends, that's what we need to be. We need to be encouragers. We all need to have that ministry of Barnabas to one another and to encourage. And Ernie Allen was exactly that. What a blessing he was to our lives as young believers at that time in the work. There were a few of us there. It's a little bit bigger now, and the Lord continues to bless and guide and direct. But those early days with just a few workers were tremendous days, and the Lord was good to us. And within that, those early years of working in Every Home Crusade, a deep friendship began with another young lad. We worked in the post room together. And as I said, when I was growing up as a young lad, I wanted to be a postman just like Dad. And when I started my time in Every Home Crusade, we were working in the post room. working in the post room, and we were dealing with letters that were coming in from all over the world of people desiring to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. The Lord makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes, and He does direct our paths. And we got this deep friendship with our brother Fred. And you'll forgive me if I try and move through this very quickly. This is always a very emotional thing to talk about, because we spent 6 years with Fred before Fred was murdered, along with his friend James Cummings, and that was a devastating blow in all of our lives. And Fred was not only a best friend, but he was best man at our wedding. And his friendship was deep, He was a godly young man. And we remembered Fred's passing 30 years ago yesterday, when he was murdered by the IRA. And those who tramped our streets with Balaclava still tramp our streets. And they haven't changed. And we don't forget those who have gone before and laid down their lives. And Fred and me had a great friendship and a wonderful time just going through our lives and our work in Every Home Crusade. Of course, we get up to all sorts of stuff. Mr. Allen used to have to come in and have words with us, but it was all very, very good-natured, and we had tremendous times together. But Fred was such a blessing to my life, the wife of Celia. And our lad was only 4 weeks old, and Fred had held him, and then so soon after that, cut off in the prime of life. And those years in Every Home Crusade were tremendous, and the short time after that were very, very difficult indeed, very difficult to deal with that. But we rejoiced in what the Lord done through Fred's life, and his dear father coming to trust the Lord as his Saviour at Fred's funeral was a wonderful thing, and we just rejoice in the impact that he made and reaching out to others with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 4 and verse 1, it says these words: "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." And I have rejoiced now in over 36 years spent in Every Home Crusade, from small beginnings to just where the Lord has led us. And I've seen remarkable things and heard remarkable stories of people all across the world, how they've come to find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour through reading a little gospel tract or a gospel booklet. And our hearts have rejoiced just to be used for God in these days. Romans tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And friends, that's all that Paul Roberts has ever wanted to do, just to give himself. The Lord give himself for me. And Paul Roberts only wanted to just give his life back for the Lord to use. There's nothing remarkable about me, but the Lord's good. The Lord's good. And working for him in this work has been tremendous. As our brother Roger said, we spent that little time together in the work before he headed out to Australia. And that was such a blessing. And it's been tremendous just to keep that friendship and fellowship over the years. And lately in the work of Every Home Crusade, we've rejoiced over all those years in printing those little tracts and portions of the Word of God. But just lately we began to print the New Testament in the Spanish language. And that has been a real joy in my heart, printing the Word of God, so that others may come to find my Saviour as their Saviour too. Friends, maybe you have heard the gospel time and time again. Maybe you've been in these services so often that maybe your ears have become dull to the gospel. Well, dear friends, there are people all over this world, and they haven't heard once. They haven't heard once, and you're hearing again. Many are hearing once and trusting Christ. But what about you? What about you? What are you going to do with the gospel regarding your life? Are you going to trust in the Lord? Or are you going to reject the message of the gospel? How often have you heard, and yet others have never heard? But we rejoice in these days and just what God is doing and continues to do in our lives and through the work. It's been a tremendous privilege to serve God in this way, printing the Word of God and seeing it sent out to boys and girls and young people and adults all over this world, and trying to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you boys and girls that are in the meeting tonight, you know, as I was growing up as that little boy just down off the Newton Arch Road, one of the greatest things about childhood is having friends, isn't it? It's having friends. You sometimes hear the children say, my best friend this, my best friend that, or my friend in school, or my friend here, my friend down the street. Boys and girls, the best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust them early in your life, and don't waste your life. I wasted even those years into teenage years, not having the opportunity to come to Christ, not hearing the word. You boys and girls tonight, the Lord Jesus is the best friend. He's the best friend, and he's the only real and true friend you'll ever have. But you young people tonight in this meeting, I was a young teenager, as I've said, when I came to trust Christ. And so many things concerned me, and I wanted to do my own thing and go my own way. But the Word of God says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Young people, don't throw your life away. Don't waste your life away. If you love the Lord as your Savior, serve Him. Serve Him. He's a joy to serve. He's a joy to serve. I love to serve the Lord with all that I have. I just give to Him and serve Him in any way that I can. We, for 25 years, were involved in the work of Sandown Summer Camp. And over those 25 years, we've seen some remarkable things done in the lives of young people. Some remarkable works done in their lives. Young people trusting Christ. That young Philip Knowles that's over in Lewis, in the church there in Lewis in England. Philip come back to the Lord during one of the summer camps. And that's what God can do in the life of a young person. And young people tonight, don't waste your life. And don't go with the crowd. Don't go. Crowd will take you to a Christless hell. Don't go with the crowd. I could as easily went off where other lads in our estate were going. Would have led to problem areas and a problem life and a disastrous life, not only for myself but for my family. But thank God He intervened and stepped in. Young people, give your best years to the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you, older saint? Work on for God. Work on. No matter what age you are, there's a work to be done. Let's work on for God and pray for the next generation coming through. But what if you're here and you're not saved? You're an older person. And think of the years that have gone by. And what have you done with them? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's all this life ever did. He just trusted the Lord. And the Lord saved him. And daily, He continues to direct my paths. And I'm thankful for that. My friends, I couldn't find my own way. Couldn't find my own way unless He directed and guided every step of the way. And thank God He has done that. And that hasn't been easy. Hasn't been easy. There's times when I failed the Lord. Feel the Lord more often than I've pleased the Lord, maybe. But friends, He has never failed me once. Never once. Has the Lord Jesus Christ ever failed this life? And so daily, I trust Him for every day that lies before us. And we thank God for how He has just taken this life and used it for His glory. That's all we've ever wanted to do, present our bodies, that living sacrifice, serving Him in any way that we can to win others for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you tonight? What about your soul? Where are you? And where do you stand before God? Are you saved? Are you lost? Are you still going to go on in your sin? Are you going to come tonight and find my Savior as your Savior too? He's there and He's waiting. And He calls you to come unto Himself. Come unto Me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. I thank God that He still saves. Thank God that He still keeps. And I thank God that not only has He saved Paul Roberts, but daily He keeps me by His power. I trust the Lord will bless and bless each one of you tonight.